Monday, October 31st, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris. This is show number 29, the Halloween edition. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you want to email us, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. And today we have three other folks with us today. We have Bob.
Happy Halloween.
Tom.
Happy Halloween.
And Keith. What's a chill cheese?
Hide some scream week.
Are you talking about cheese?
You know today, there's not enough of anymore on Halloween? Elvira.
There was enough of her when she was still around to hold us over for years to come.
Not enough 50-year-old tatas being waved around.
All right, let's go over what we're going to be discussing today here. We have trivia. We also have Factor Crap, the PlayStation 3 and its compatibility issue. Spike TV Video Game Awards. True Crime, Pimps Puma. An update on the Walmart Xbox 360 kiosks. Video game related deaths are back. The World of Warcraft expansion details. Some MMO discussion. And our forum question.
Next topic.
Housekeeping this week. In the spirit of Halloween, Saw 2 took tops at the box office, bringing in $30.5 million in its opening weekend. If you'll remember, the Doom movie had, what, $17 million in its opening weekend? And this week, it got a measly $4 million. So, Doom not doing too well. Gamertag Radio's Xbox Awards. The awards will be happening November 20th. You can go to their website, gamertagradio.com, to vote for a whole bunch of different categories. We have been nominated for the best podcast, so thank you. Voting ends on November 15th. We're up against Major Nelson, who's like the Xbox Live dude, and we're up against Podtacular, which is a Halo podcast. So,
No, they've far surpassed us now. Out of 72 votes, we've gotten 4.
Oh, come on, Tom, I didn't vote yet. Let's go.
Yeah!
I voted for Major Nelson.
Oh! Tom voted Major Nelson. Tom! Well, he does have a better podcast than ours, but you know. We don't know what we're doing with our awards, if we're having awards, when we're having awards. We will give you more details later. We have a correction from last week. Bill Gates prefers streaming media. That whole discussion about the hard drives or lack thereof. I guess we didn't make it clear enough that I had thought we talked about the streaming media and the way that it's going to be done, and then we ripped on the Xbox for not having a next-gen DVD system. The way that it got edited, some people were questioning that we missed the whole point of it. Bill Gates was saying that the future is in streaming media a la Valve's Steam system. So, and the Xbox 360 still doesn't have a next-gen hard drive. I'm sorry, a next-gen DVD player. Swag time! DreamStation t-shirts are available. We will have links in our forum as well as in our show notes. We want to have a whole bunch of different designs, you know, the Bumblefoot shirts and the ham sandwiches and whatnot, but for right now, we didn't want to go footing the bill and have 2,000 t-shirts down here in my basement from now till eternity. If there's enough interest, we will be putting out more shirt designs, etc., etc. We're going to do trivia this week. It's kind of a weak trivia, but, you know, I wondered this at work the last week, and we got the answer. What I'm going to do is I'll ask the question now, and then later in the show, we will answer the question. What is the origin of the I in, like, iMac and iPod and all those other I things from Macintosh?
Next topic.
It's Factor Crap time. This week, we have one crap and two facts. Number one.
Wait, it's one crap and two facts?
Yes. Number one, Game Boy Micro sells about, what, $99 for United States dollars, but it only costs a mere $44 in parts to manufacture. Number two, virtual real estate bought for $50,000.
You're making that up.
Oh, this one's kind of good, though. Number three, in China, 60% of MMO players, that would be massively multiplayer online players, are unemployed. So again, two facts, one crap. You got the Game Boy Micro, you got the virtual real estate, and you got the 60% unemployed China.
I want to go first. The China thing's crap because they're like communists, and if you don't work, they just that one's wrong.
Okay. Anyone else want to volunteer to go second?
Tom can go second.
I believe the Game Boy thing because hardware is cheap, and they're trying to make the margin wide, so they profit. The China thing, I'm believing because I just don't think you'd make up something like that. That's just not something you pull out of thin air. So I'm going to say crap is the selling $50,000 worth of virtual real estate.
Okay. And Keith?
I think the virtual real estate thing is true, just because it seems like something someone's stupid enough to do. The Nintendo thing, just because my gut instinct wants to agree with Bob, but...
Here, the one that was crap, because I have no imagination, I simply changed the numbers. The virtual real estate was bought for $50,000, crap. It was actually bought for $100,000. The game was Project Entropia, and the purchaser would be John Jacobs. He bought a space resort,
Project
a virtual...
Entropia?
Yeah, I've never
it's
even heard of
it. It's a game I've never even played.
And they paid $50,000 for it?
It was $100,000 by John Jacobs for a virtual space resort.
John Jacob Dingleheimer Schmidt?
His name's my name, too.
Oh, now you're reaching. Now you're really reaching.
Now, what's interesting, though, is that last year they have the Guinness Book of World Records for the most expensive piece of virtual real estate. It was $25,000. They broke their own record.
Okay, here, I'm on the project, projectentropia.com, and the first sentence of its description is, the Project Entropia is a massive virtual universe with real cash economy.
Fifth screenshot is a bunch of people dancing every other game. And no one's got, oh no, there's weapons, okay.
I just jumped on game rankings.
I've never even heard of this.
66% overall. The facts, though, however, the fact that Game Boy Micro costs about $100 if you want to buy it in the store in the United States, but it only costs Nintendo $44 worth of parts. So it's over double.
That's about right.
And China, 60% of MMO players are unemployed. That's a fact. We're going to hit a little bit more on that down below, but...
I'm having trouble believing that. I need to hear more.
Y'all would fit right in over there.
I work.
No, I got a job now.
Next topic.
The PlayStation 3's backwards compatibility. In an interview with IDG News Services, Riko Sakamoto said, it's hard to say if the PlayStation 3 will be 100% backwards compatible. As we said earlier this year, we aim to make it so as much as possible. So, in English, PS3 may not be 100% backwards compatibility. Now, in Sony's defense, they kind of did set the bar very, very high when they did it with the PS2. For the most part, all the PS1 games worked in the PS2 without any issues, and actually they worked a little bit better for the most part. Xbox 360 wanted to some backwards compatibility. We're still questioning. We still don't know where they are. And Nintendo has come out and said they would be compatible with everything in the whole entire universe. We don't have any more details or anything else. So,
they're not
there you
backwards
go.
Compatible with everything, because what you're going to have to do is download the old games from the site. I like they're going to have an NES cartridge adapter for the Revolution.
So basically what you're arguing
is that
backwards compatibility if you have to basically repurchase and or re-download the game.
No, that's not backwards compatibility. It's almost like buying new content because you've got to buy it in a different form.
That's a good point. So of the next-gen systems, backwards compatibility, we're not so sure it's going to work out. See, we're moving forward. See how technology works? Isn't it great?
Like, we talk about Project Entropia again?
Okay.
Look at this. Okay, so it's free to download, and there's no monthly subscription. In the real
you
company,
pay $50,000 for virtual real thing.
You buy, from what I understand, is you buy all your equipment in game with real cash, and that looks like how they make money. That's their
no monthly fee, free to download, $50,000 startup equipment.
Do you kill anything? All I kept seeing was people holding items in bank.
Yeah, your bank account.
Okay, I'm downloading it right now. We'll see.
Oh dear, we're gonna have a real time game review by Tom of Project Entropia. While we're on the subject of PS3 real quick here, our crazy boy, Ken Kutaragi, he wants the PlayStation 3 to run at 120 frames per second. Let's put that into perspective.
Okay,
frames per second is how you measure video and how smooth it looks. 120 frames per second means they're going to redraw what you're looking at 120 times every single second. Saturday morning cartoons are around 12 frames per second or so.
Well,
movies,
old school like He-Man, that's like 12 frames per second.
Right. Speed Racer, you're talking 3 or 4 frames per second. Hollywood-produced movies, those run at 24 frames per second.
Standard widescreen television, high def or whatever, runs at 30.
I mean, we like our games to run at around 60 frames a second.
That's like pipe dreaming. I mean, normally we get like, if you get 30 or 40, that's pretty good, unless you're like spinning around in a circle.
The human brain and the human eye can only pick up so much, and there's a whole big debate about how much the human eye can really see. Can it see 60? Can it see 120 frames per second? I'm not sure. TVs can't even refresh 120 times per second.
I was going to say... And really awesome monitor refreshes at 75.
So computers and monitors can run at 200 frames per second or whatever. There's only a limit to what you can tell the difference. Can you tell the difference between 30 and 60? Most definitely. Between 60 and 120? Probably.
Ridiculous attempt at marketing. Let's just say some extravagant thing and some websites are going to reproduce it and I'll talk about it on podcasts and look how better our system is. It's going to be forgotten in a couple months anyways. Big deal.
It's tetrahedron ball.
I could run Quake 1. At 100 and some frames per second on my box. That doesn't say that much.
Next topic.
All right, we got the little Spike TV Game Awards. It's that time of the year again, folks, where that crappy channel puts out its crappy video game awards. Details, you say? Well, here they are. Samuel L. Jackson is going to tarnish his career by hosting appearances.
Mace Windu, that tarnished his career.
Ooh.
Appearances will also be made by Snoop Dogg. He was the wonderful host last year. Carmen Electra, The Rock, Vin Diesel, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Ozzy. All of these people synonymous with the word video game.
Actually, Vin Diesel is a known video game guy.
Vin Diesel
actually a video game geek.
Let's get into some of the nominees, shall we? King Kong got 7 nominations, including Best Action Game and Best Graphics.
What?
Release date? November 18th.
What the f*** are you doing?
What are you doing?
Haven't played it yet, but it's better than everything.
Well, see, they're trying to apply the whole MTV structure to video games. Gamers don't care. No one cares about Spike TV. Gamers don't care about Samuel L. Jackson, damn it.
World of Warcraft got 6 nominations. Call of Duty 2 got 6 nominations. And 007 From Russia with Love got 6 nominations.
That comes out like November 1st or something.
Nothing wrong with Call of Duty 2. All I'm saying is it came out last week for the PC, and it's not out yet for everything else. So, Game of the Year nominations include Resident Evil 4. All right, God of War, decent. Call of Duty 2 again. It keeps sneaking back in. World of Warcraft, which actually came out in November 2 years ago. And Fear for the PC. City of Villains is nominated for the Best Multiplayer Game. That's amazing. I don't know how they do this. Now again, this is coming from the same award show that Mountain Dew has a byline in one of the awards, you know. The most extreme Dew Challenge Gamer Award
for, like, the most addictive game.
It shouldn't bother me, but it bothers me.
I think this just shows how marketers are scrambling to try to get at this group, you know, this consumer group, and they're going to fail miserably every time.
They're probably going to succeed. And do you know why?
The Pontiac Best Driving Game Award, the most addictive game, fueled by Mountain Dew.
I have no comment.
What the hell are these people smoking?
Yeah, I'm not going to get upset about this because no one's going to watch. I don't care.
And this is kind of talking about what Godfrey and the guys at Gamertag Radio were talking about is,
in their most recent podcast,
there's gamers that care about video games, a la us. We're not getting paid for this. We're not getting kickbacks from game companies to talk great about their products. And then there's Spike TV, and there's, you know, some of these bigger game sites where, you know, we're not going to mention any names.
Yeah, I know. A lot of these companies, because look what happened. Fox Entertainment just bought IGN Network. So I wouldn't be surprised later on down the line you see ABC or somebody buying EA. It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
It's a shame. We do this because we like to do this. We're not doing it to get rich. Now, again, there's a part of it that is a business. I'm not going to lie to you. Eventually, it's a matter of money. If I get so involved in work that this pays nothing, work pays the bills, one of them has to go, what's going to go? Some other websites have money as such a high priority that I question what they're doing and how they're doing it. I mean, for example, Spike TV, we're going to pick on them. Half of these friggin' games aren't even out yet. How can you tell me that these are the best games of the year when the ones that are out just came out a minute ago? God of War got mentioned. I'm surprised that it did because people have forgotten about it because of this MTV mentality where your attention span's about 3 weeks. There's money to be made out here, and people are scrambling up to get your hard-earned dollars. It's a matter of where you want to throw your cash. I could sit and rant about this all day, but people are probably tired of me ranting about things that I shouldn't be ranting about.
Next topic.
Speaking of crap that makes people ticked off, True Crime Pimps Puma. Tom, do me a favor. Look up when True Crime New York City comes out. True Crime New York City will feature a mission, or missions, where you have to find the special edition Puma shoe and bring it back to the retail stores. Puma will then release that same shoe so you can buy it in real world. Barney Waters, the vice president of Puma North America, said, "Hey, we wanted our inclusion in the game to add some value to the gamer. You know, to be somewhat authentic, rather than just pasting our logo all over everything."
November 15th.
So we wanted our inclusion to add value to the gamer and be authentic rather than pasting our logo over everything. I know it's very important to me what shoes my character wears in game. I'm looking through the back of the box. If they don't have name brand clothing, back on the shelf you go.
I think we've already pimped our gamer footwear in the past.
Oh yeah,
right,
we have.
I'm wearing the Nike Leet.
Well, this goes right back to the whole Spike TV thing, because you're gonna have marketers who can't reach gamers through television, because how much television is anyone actually watching anymore? So they're gonna start trying to get these things into games, and you're gonna have companies that go along with it and put the advertisements in.
We've talked about this in the past. We've even had a weekly poll question about, you know, pimping products in video games, and I just keep going back to the most gratuitous advertising that I've seen was in Need for Speed Underground or whatever it was, where you have the singular cell phone that rings every 10 minutes and you're driving past Taco Bell and Best Buy.
Well, you know how in like EA games like Battlefield, where you have to sit there and watch the EA screen? In 10 more years, you're going to have to sit there and watch the Coke screen. You're not going to be able to hit escape past it.
They did it with movies, and I agree. They're doing it with games now. So does anyone else have anything to say about Redman and his true crime game here?
No.
Next topic.
The Walmart Xbox kiosks. Last week, a couple of us from work at lunchtime went up to the local Walmart. We wanted to see the Xbox 360. Well, we got there. It was there in all its glory, but it wasn't on. I asked the little worker, hey, what's the deal? And she said, well, they weren't shipped all of the parts. And I said, what are you talking about? You weren't shipped all the parts. It's hooked up over there. Well, no, we're missing a cord. As I've come to find out, some of the Walmart kiosks have been shut down after official word from Microsoft. We had reported last week that they were having some interference with the Walmart inventory system, so some of them weren't working and some of them were shut down. Microsoft did put out an official word. They said the problem is minor, and they have a software solution to fix it, which also concerns me. Somebody had mentioned in the comments for the last show they wanted to know exactly what the deal was, that we didn't go into the detail. Part of it was, we're not totally sure of the detail. The issue that a lot of the people think right now is it's due to the 2.4 gigahertz frequency that the wireless in the 360 uses. It was causing interference with some of the older Walmart stores' inventory systems. People were questioned directly from Microsoft and Walmart, and they said nothing specific, but it won't be a problem for the home user. Don't worry about it. The Xbox 360 passes all of those, what are they, FCC regulations and everything else that it needs to do. Tons of websites, everybody's saying, yes, Walmart kiosks, they're working now. They've been putting new 360s in the Best Buys and GameStops, and so I have no reports of the Xbox 360, I'm sorry. Now, Tom, you were mentioning, you were reading that GameStop was going to start having a Dell-sponsored PC kiosk in the store that you could try PC games out before you buy them?
It looks like one way they're going to approach the whole declining sales in PCs is start putting these Dell kiosks in GameStop, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully with all the internet connection, we can have more fun with them than just gaming. I think we all like a good kiosk.
Not really, no.
Next topic.
Okay, we have a video game related death this week. It's not so much a funny one, but it is video game related. Frankie Gee, aka Captain Jack. You may know him from his DDR songs, Dream a Dream and In the Navy, and he's kind of a European dance kind of dude. Well, he's dead now. He died at the age of 43 from a brain tumor while he was over in Spain.
But did he die while dancing DDR? That's the question.
That's it. I'm sorry. That's all I got. It's game-related, though.
Dude, that's weak.
Dude, it's game-related.
He died while playing the game because of the game or due to the game.
He was playtesting DDR 15.
That's
the lost
what I hear.
Songs. And during this, a cow fell out of a overhead blimp and landed right on him. He couldn't get out of the way because
that was the cow that killed him, not the video game. The only way this counts is if he's playtesting DDR.
He was playing DDR and some crazed GTA fan came up and clocked him from behind.
That's exactly what happened. Frankie Gee was wearing Pumas and he thought he was in an episode of True Crime and he was just trying to bring him back to the retailer. And Frankie's like, get off my shoes, man. I need him for DDR. And a DS playing cow fell on both of them.
They should have moved. Zing.
That pun was utterly ridiculous.
Next topic.
All right, World of Warcraft expansion. This expansion will be called Burning Crusade. They had BlizzCon. We talked about this before. It was kind of a Blizzard-sponsored community event where they were talking about all the different Blizzard games, the StarCrafts, the Diablos, the Warcrafts, etc., Ghost, stuff like that. The expansion will be called Burning Crusade. Two new races, one for each side. You get the Blood Elves for the Horde side, and you have the unnamed race for the Alliance. Now, they were talking about Pandaren for the Alliance. Rumor on the internet has it that they were about 80% sure that it was going to be the Pandaren race for the Alliance. Now, the Pandaren is just exactly what it sounds like. It's samurai panda bears. Don't ask. Gaming Steve posted some news because he's got some ins over at Blizzard. They were 80% sure that it was going to be the pandas. Speculation on the internet and rumors, again, these are just rumors that our friends in China, they have some little law there where it's illegal to kill panda bears. Therefore, now China also had some kind of PvP laws that apparently they don't have to follow. I don't know what the deal is. They're also, if you remember from the past, they're cracking down. They don't want people playing these games more than 3 hours, five at the absolute most. So I don't know what the deal is here. Blizzard hasn't officially said anything about the whole Alliance races. We'll just have to wait and see. Some of the other features, new profession, you get jewel crafting. It's also going to have socketed weapons and armor, a la Diablo 2's Lord of Destruction. Bump the level cap to 70. They'll have some new zones, new high-level dungeons. They will have flying mounts. And interesting about the Blood Elves is the Blood Elves are there, and Blizzard is admitting that they put them there to help balance out the size. We've talked about it before when we played Warcraft. The Horde is outnumbered by the Alliance 3-1. Nobody likes the ugly trolls and ogres and all that.
So the Horde has elves now.
Yes, because okay. Now I people will play...
Okay, now I'm definitely not going to play again.
Because elves are the most popular human race, well, we need to get people playing Horde. Let's shove some elves there on the evil side, too. And
let's say my favorite thing to do in Guild Wars is to take off all my armor when I'm a chick and dance around in my undies.
Next topic.
Moving on to MMO discussion in general. They had the Austin Game Conference this past week. A couple different things. The one that I was kind of interested was the MMO discussions. MMO, for those that don't know, massively multiplayer online. The normal way to do these things is they release the game. You pay, let's say, $50 for the game, and then they will release content for that game. They will release updates and patches and kind of episodes, giving you new items and new quests and new things to do. In addition to these costs, you're usually paying a per month fee of around $15. Talked about changing core game values to try and lure people to your game from the other games or to prevent them from leaving. So what they're saying is World of Warcraft has like 4 million people. EverQuest 2 does not. How can we make EverQuest 2 more like World of Warcraft? So throwing your design out the window and basically swallowing your own pride.
City of Heroes.
You know, somebody like us, let's just say City of Heroes, talking about crafting and stuff, you know. They came out and they laid the law down. We're not going to craft. That's not part of our game plan. World of Warcraft's doing really
any items. We're not going to focus on grinding. We're just going to let you play.
So this panel was saying you're actually hurting the people who are already signed up on board for your game and enjoying themselves.
Really?
So now you're not only...
No.
Another one of the things I talked about was user-created content. It's going to get more and more important to make it feel like it's your world. It needs to be part of the player's experience, that they feel like they're part of something. And most games are kind of shunning the user-created content. They don't want to really get involved with the community. They don't want to hear people witching on the forums. Now, that being said, there is an awful lot of witching on these games forums, but some of it is good points, some of it is not.
They're not digging the idea of user-created content? Because I would think they would take a play from, like, the first-person shooter playbook, where user-created content is the best part of all the latest first-person games.
But if they can charge you $30 for a whole bunch of new weapons and vehicles and stuff, just my opinion, again. You can feel like it's your world if you play Project Entropia and spend all of your money to $100,000.
Still not done downloading. Still have 8 minutes to go.
Well, another interesting thing real quick here. You're talking about the difference between the East and the West MMO games. East being Japanese, Asian, that type of thing. And West being us here in the States and Canada, maybe. The art and the look. The whole EverQuest thing, they were going to have trolls and ogres and all this stuff. And then they said, look, hang on. Asians are never going to bite for this. You need to make even the ugly, horrible characters need to be handsome and beautiful. My opinion is that's the biggest reason that the good guys are popular in Warcraft, because they're very regal and the chicks are hot. It's very hard to make an orc chick look hot. The art style in MMOs, they said it should be a little bit more towards the anime, kind of super deformed, three heads tall rather than, you know, realistic
gigantic
looking.
Eyeballs like kitties, even on the men.
Yeah. That'd be super fun troll.
It's just, to me, it's stupid that that's the biggest turnoff, is because they're not pretty. Get
these
a wife,
what, 16,
get a woman, get a man, get whatever the you want.
Get a super happy fun troll. 60% of the Asian MMO customer is unemployed.
But between this and the whole, we can't use pandas because of China, these companies start making these culturally sensitive video games, and it's one big race to the bottom where everything's going to be bland, and it's just not going to be appealing for anybody. And they'll probably sell more copies of those, so what do I know?
And it's going to be interesting. They're putting so much emphasis in the next-gen consoles. You know, the Xboxes and the PlayStations are going to want these graphics to look so realistic. You know, are they going to want to go with... It's hard to get a realistic three-head-tall anime elf with huge eyes, giant ears. I guess it's a culture shock to know that the Asian community thinks so highly and it has to be this art style. I don't know.
This is why I hope the revolution, I hope it's more successful than everyone thinks it's going to be, because I'm going to assume that it's going to have games that are designed better, more fun, simpler, maybe not as snazzy or as realistic as, you know, Xbox and PlayStation 3, but if we could show that just making games fun is enough to pull an audience, then man, then there's going to be a hope for us. Otherwise, it's a dark future.
Asian countries are getting away from pay-to-play monthly fees. Sony Online Entertainment is wanting to go in this direction.
Of course,
John Smedley,
they're all unemployed. They can't afford it.
John Smedley, the Sony president, wants to release a game by next fall, which
now
is MMO.
Joined.
Hello, Phil. Which is MMO, but is not pay-to-play. He said that they would get more people playing it because people are kind of, they don't want to play games that they're going to have to pay for every single month over and over again. They'd offset their costs by offering extras, special items, equipment, levels, etc. It's kind of taking the Guild Wars approach, which is doing selling very well.
Or Project Entropa.
Phil has been welcome to the podcast. He was busy being a good United States citizen and giving children tooth decay by handing out candy for Halloween.
Yes, I turned tricks for treats.
I saw no Burger King Kings, and I saw no video game characters. I had a special piece of candy waiting for the video game characters, and nobody got it, so I ate it.
What was the special piece of candy?
Well, we just had, like, the good big candy bars, like the dollar candy bars.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, like, if you showed up in my house as Mario, you'd get a good candy bar.
We had a couple unique ones. There was one kid that was dressed up as a little Indian. And
like
one little
Indian, like outsourcing Indian?
Bear. Yeah, I was going to say, did he have a little laptop? Did he write a code? No, like Last of the Mohicans, Pocahontas type. Indian. I do the work of five American children, just one candy for me. I don't know where I was going with that one.
Next topic.
All right, forum question. www.dreamstation.cc. Go to our general forums, and you can vote in our weekly polls. This past week's poll was, are electronics getting too small? 58% of the people said yes, 42% said no. I was a little surprised by this. We had kind of went under the impression that, yes, the stuff's getting too small for our big fat man hands, except for, I believe...
I didn't know you had that many women viewers.
I think Tom is the only one with Japanese hands that can use cell phones that are, you know, of today's stature. The rest of us use a pencil to press the keys. We'll read off some of these poll comments here. Lyndon said, I would have to say that as of now, electronics such as cell phones, PDAs, etc. are about as small as they can be and still be used effectively. I'm sure this won't stop the companies from trying to make things smaller yet because they think we either, the public, want it or they think they can get money out of us for an upgraded model that we don't need. iPod Nano. Redeema said, isn't it funny that in America, the land of bigger is better, we're complaining about things being smaller? I don't think we'll ever really get to the point of being so small that they'll be lost in the blink of an eye, but then again, who knows? Pocket-sized is great. I don't see a problem with stuff getting smaller. Fuse is very to the point. I'm worried that they'll be too small to push the buttons with our fingers.
Wait, get this. So I'm installing Project Entropa, and I got to the whole end-user license screen, and so I hit, like, you know, right away, you get there and you hit I accept, and it didn't go through, so I hit I accept again, and it popped up a little box. Are you sure you have read the EULA? You seem to have clicked the I accept button a bit fast.
Beelzebub is actually sitting in your closet right now going, oh, hit it again, my friend.
Oh, man, this is probably a bad sign. The default language is Chinese.
That explains a lot. Okay.
Aragus. I'm butchering your name until I get a pronunciation. You are Aragus. It is true that many items are becoming smaller. It doesn't mean they're becoming impractical by being so small. I carry a lot of stuff in my pockets to school every day, an iPod with a battery pack and headphones, cell phone, house keys, wallet. Right now, for convenience, companies are making things smaller so it's easier for the consumers to handle. Instead of an iPod, I will have a chip implanted in my brain I can control using my brain waves. The cell phone will be a one-ear headset that I will use to verbally program it so that when I say Kathy, it will dial such and such a number. Moving on, keys will be replaced by a fingerprint system, and cash will be replaced by a card that is getting directly connected to all my banking accounts. So he's very Blade Runner and very Matrix-esque.
Okay, all I know then is people are going to be cutting off other people's hands. Because I remember that with role-playing. Anytime there's a fingerprint scanner, we cut off the guy's hand and just keep it in our pocket.
That happened in Doom, the movie. That old stand-by.
Dude, we were like 10 when we thought of that. And lastly, Angry Llama. Electronics are getting smaller, but you have to think that the inevitable conclusion is that the microification of consumer electronics is something about the size of today's cell phones will someday be a cell phone. MP3 player, thumb drive, television, cinematic, bedroom, Craftmatic bed remote, and of course, back scratcher.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, that's what we just kind of talked about, this whole multifunctionality thing. It can't just be an MP3 player. It has to do pictures. It has to call people. It has to, you know, open your garage door, etc. Next week's poll, folks. Do you still buy and read printed media. So do you have a subscription to magazine
PC Gamers or Nintendo
you mean,
Power?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like.
No, I want to know if people still
Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
Really?
And I was standing in line in the grocery store this week, and in right next to Bragg with the Bat Boy on the cover and Tom Cruise was a PlayStation magazine.
Yeah, like Game Informer. There's PSM magazine. There's official Xbox magazine. So do you guys still buy and read gaming print media? That'll be our next poll, yes or no?
Well, I remember, like, one of the first Nintendo Powers being, like, Mario Brothers.
Yeah, Power was sweet for its day. It would give you maps and, like, little strategy guides in there and all that stuff.
They had a good killing back then because, I mean, no one knew where to put the bombs in Legend of Zelda unless you owned the Nintendo Power magazine.
Yeah, it was all word of mouth, and you go to your friend's house and you learn some new place to put a bomb, and it was all a big deal.
I remember it being notorious for Mario Brothers, Zelda, and Metroid.
Here we are 20 years later, and what's on the cover? Mario, Zelda, and Metroid.
Next topic.
The mailbag. I quite frankly ran out of time this week, guys. I have a whole bunch of mail. If I haven't gotten back to you, I apologize.
Is there one really good one we could do today?
Let's do one real quick. This one's from Chris. My friends and I have recently been getting into PC gaming rather than console gamings. This is mostly due to the incredibly high prices. We've started to host LAN parties at each other's houses every weekend. I was wondering if you guys had any suggestions on good LAN games that we could invest in. Thank you. You guys host a great podcast. I spoke with him.
LAN games. Like Battlefield 1942 with six guys.
Yes, the 14-man Battlefield 1942 LAN party could have gone a little better. I spoke with him. He's got several friends, so he's got about 8 people. He says they're into competition because I originally said, let's try stuff that's co-op, a la Raven Shield. There's a couple co-op modes in Unreal Tournament 2004. All the real-time strategy games, you can jump on the same team and beat up the computer. What are other LAN games that we have liked and played and enjoyed? I mean, Warlords, Battlecry.
Dawn of War.
Serious Sam was
Dawn
of War is good.
Awesome.
We entertained ourselves greatly with Neverwinter Nights.
Diablo is decent on a LAN. All right, that's our one email this week. And for those that care, Wet Jimmy says hi.
I care.
The amazing Australian.
Thanks, everybody, who's writing in and again. Audio reviews, audio comments, and we appreciate the emails.
Next topic.
We did the whole show. You guys probably forgot about the trivia question. To recap for Phil and everyone else, what is the origin of the I in iMac, iPod, and all those other Macintosh things?
All Apple users are very self-centered, so by putting I in front of everything, it's very appropriate for their market.
What's an I got? It's an iPod.
Goes with the whole My Documents thing.
It's my iPod. No,
I was going to say, there's actually another creator of the iPod that's little known. He was born a Cyclops, and they wanted to give him some props, but I mean, you really can't have a Cyclops on like the cover and give a guy a lot of publicity.
I'm going to guess that the I is actually supposed to be like the Roman numeral 1 for like first generation of particular piece of equipment that they created.
Okay, this is a little Mac love here. Back in 1998, when the iMac first came out, it stood for Internet. Because apparently it was one of the first computers to connect to the internet in 1998, 4 years after I was on the internet.
Wait, was this one with Jeff Goldblum did the commercials?
As time went on, other products got branded with it. It changed away from internet and it became interactive. It became individual. So yes, everybody
See,
was making
I was
fun
right.
of it. This is your experience. This is your device. This is all around you. It's very you-centric.
No, graphics design.
That was trivia.
Yeah, that sucked.
Next topic.
So you were listening to an incredibly long Halloween edition that had nothing to do with Halloween version of the DreamStation.cc video game show. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our downloadable show archive. Email us, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Don't forget to vote wherever you see us. If you like us, you can vote for us. And Gamertag Radio is having their awards for all kinds of different things. Go to their website, gamertagradio.com. And we will hope to talk to you same time next week.
It's a new
and
month.
Thank you,
so
guys.
PodcastAlley.com.
DreamStation CC is proud to present El Diablo.
Hey, thanks, Bob. It's great to be here. This is a new take on an old favorite. Going out to a couple special someones. Hit it.
Power Pal Jack, doing this and that, claiming games made some kids make no money. The Psycho Brad was mutilating cats long before GTA to make money. The Governator, now violence hater, condemning all that's unholy. Don't pretend I don't know that you sold your soul. I got the contract and signed it with money. In Rockstar Games, they could have been more. see.